Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh, Ramash.
I execute judgment on you, Satan, you destroyer, you killer, you get out, you break your power, you get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand, I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
And strike 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 until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Amanda ata ata raka de baka sanda ata ambo osa kata rite eke banda ata rike di diashata. For angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here. In the name of Jesus.
People older asking other people, middle age, 20s, 30s, 80s, whatever. And they were asking each other, when do you think they're going to have the phone service back on? And it was obviously fairly soon after some incident had happened that had caused all the cell phones to go dead. And I don't know whether the electricity was off. I got the sense that it was and that this was generator powered, because otherwise I didn't, you know, understand why so many people would have to be there. It was summertime, so obviously people would need to cool off. So that was my, but I didn't know that for sure. I wasn't sure. And so about the time that I'd kind of seen all of this, and then I saw this other building there that people were in, and they had cyber capability there because it was an emergency building. They had some sort of satellite service that regular people couldn't get. It was an emergency service only. Then I looked outside, and I saw Humvees and military vehicles pull up.
God bless you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome back to Cloud Nine Blessings. I hope that you are all having a very beautiful and blessed day. Thank you so much for joining me here on the channel. In this video today, it is going to be part two of experiences from our dear sister in Christ, Andrea. If you haven't already, please go back to the channel and watch part one. And it is listed as Lights Out, This is Shocking, part one. So let's now take a look and see more experiences from our sister in Christ, Andrea.
Blessings one and all, and welcome to this week's episode of Mystic Radio. I'm your host, Paul James Caden, and this week on the show, we are going to be talking about false prophets or messengers of God. And I opened this episode, if you're watching the video format, or if you're listening on one of the audio platforms, I opened this particular episode up with a clip of Kenneth Copeland, who's a very popular televangelist in the Word of Faith or Prosperity Gospel circles. And he was talking about standing in the office of the prophet of God, rebuking the virus, COVID-19, telling it was over with, it must go. And this was at the height of the COVID outbreak. And next was a clip of Paula White, who was, or who is, another televangelist. And she was Donald Trump's spiritual advisor when he was president. So this clip was her, you know, praying, talking in tongues, prophesying victory for Donald Trump during the 2020 election. saying that there were angels coming in, angels from Africa, angels from these different countries and areas, you know, aiding in the you know, the presidential race, so that Donald Trump would win the 2020 election. And then we ended with a clip of I don't remember the name of the YouTube channel, but it was a woman who you know, is showing clips of another woman who's having dreams and visions of blackouts, power outages, phone services are down, military activity on the street, you know, all these apocalyptic visions and dreams that she's having, you know, that the rapture is coming, that the end is nigh, you know, that any moment all of this is going to take place. So the question I want to ask is this something we should be putting stock in? Is it something we should be, you know, afraid of, all of these people who are claiming they have the prophetic gift? And are they really seeing the end coming near? Now, I want to talk about this subject, but in doing so, I also want to kind of teach in real time, looking at real life experiences and things we face in this world that we live in. How does mysticism, how does Sufi mysticism help us to deal with these kinds of things? How does it help us process these kinds of things logically and, you know, on a spiritual level, without getting caught up in fanaticism or, you know, fear or, you know, whatever it is going on out there? Because there's a lot of people, that believe in these prophets, and, you know, all they have to do is speak, and thousands of people believe them. You can find these things all over the internet, all over YouTube. You know, televangelists and preachers, you know, saying that they're speaking in the name of God of what's going to happen, you know, in world events. People just like myself, everyday people with a YouTube channel, saying they're having all these dreams about the rapture and the end days and these visions. And there's really been an increase in all of this. I mean, it's always been around, but I've really noticed a great influx of this kind of thing starting in the year 2015. And for some reason, if you'll notice, the month of April and the months of like September, October are always very important months where they say the rapture's coming, the rapture's coming this April. If it doesn't happen in April, it's September, October. And I believe that has to do with Jewish feast days that they're basing the rapture theology on, and saying they're having dreams and visions. And so there's been a lot of this type of thing going on, you know, even more so, you know, just loads and loads of people and prophets since the year 2015. So how do we digest all of this? How do we look at this from the mystical and the Sufi mystic point of view? Well, first of all, we have to look at Sufi mysticism from the Islamic traditional roots. And I know that's not popular for a lot of people. You know, when you talk about Islam, they, you know, they think it's a murderous, beheading, killing, you know, religion, that this just teaches conquest by the sword and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I assure you, this isn't true. And I'm gonna have a guest, hopefully, I'm working on it within the next couple of weeks, and we're going to actually talk about this. And I really hope that it's going to kind of enlighten the understanding of a lot of people and put a lot of unnecessary fears to rest. So stay tuned for that. But nonetheless, looking at this from the Sufi perspective, coming from those Islamic roots. Now, this is important because remember last week we talked about the oneness of God. And one of the things that Islam and Sufism believe in is that prophethood ended with Muhammad. Now, they believe that it started with Abraham and even people before him. Then, of course, there was Moses and the Old Testament prophets, and there were other prophets in smaller regions of the area or of the earth. And then, of course, there was Jesus, who was, the greatest of all, the Messiah. And then there was Muhammad. Then after that, prophethood ceased to be. There was no more receiving, we'll say, grand revelations from God. And if you really look at it in the Bible in Christianity and the Quran in Islam both teach that these are sure words of revelation. Here are our words of prophecy. We study them. We teach them. We teach them to others. We warn people with the prophecies in these books when we see corruption in the land, when we see politicians or people or religions, creating mischief or corruption, as the Quran says. We warn them with these prophecies. So in a sense, we're not prophets, but we are messengers. We're bringing the message that has been revealed to great prophets and teachers in times past, and showing the example. If we don't change our ways, the judgment is likely to come. And you don't want to be, caught short doing the wrong thing if and when that happens. Both of these books say that the knowledge of the end times, when that hour comes, only God knows. No man knows, only God. God knows when the end will come. Both books tell us it will take us by surprise. It will be at a time when we don't expect, a time when everyone thinks perhaps everything is fine, but violence and corruption are running rampant on the earth. And then the end will take people by surprise. So both of these books are in alignment on those things. And I also want to take a look at the words of Jesus rather real quickly. And this is from Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. And excuse me as I hold this up in my face for a second. And it reads, "And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people." Now, in that verse, Jesus is talking about the end times, when there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and food shortages, people, the love of many growing cold, people betraying one another. And in the midst of all that, many false prophets will appear. So if you're someone who is a Christian, you have to take those words seriously. Just because someone uses the words God, Jesus, Christ, Christian, doesn't mean they are. The word Antichrist actually means, it can mean someone who is against Christ, but it can also mean a replacement for or another Christ. So it can be a false Christ, something that looks very, very Christian, but it's not. And you have to be prepared because, it says many false prophets will arise. And many of these people that are, you know, rebuking and cursing viruses, having dreams of the end, saying the rapture is coming, it's coming this April, it's coming this October. Well, all of these people have been wrong. None of them have been correct. I remember the individual, I think it was 2012 or 13, somewhere in that area. And he'd written many books that the end was coming. And he said in the May of that particular year, the end was going to come. His name escapes me right now. I was going to look it up before I hit the record button, but I forgot getting everything prepared here. But he and his followers, remember back in the day, they sold everything. They went out on the road. They put up billboards. You know, they left their homes. They quit their jobs. They emptied their bank accounts to, you know, go on this massive campaign to tell everyone the rapture was coming. In I believe it was the May of 2010 or 11, 12, somewhere in that ballpark. And it never happened. And then he changed and said, well, it's going to happen in October. And it didn't happen in October. And then he was some of these people are sincere, and this gentleman seemed like he was very sincere in what he believed, and he was very disappointed and obviously felt very bad when it didn't happen, and so many of his followers gave up their livelihood for a prophecy that never happened. But, you know, so we have to be careful whether they're sincere or whether they're money-grabbing, televangelists, people that mean well, or they're just trying to, deceive people, get money, get followers. We have to remember the words of Jesus. Many false prophets will appear, many, and deceive many. And I noticed that Christians are far too eager to run after these voices of the people who tell them they're a prophet, tell them that they're having a dream, tell them that they're getting a vision from God. Christians are far too eager to run after these people. And they get thousands of followers almost overnight. Now, in Judaism and Islam, you don't see this kind of thing. You don't see a lot of prophecy cults and false prophets, showing up on the scene and leading many people astray, you know, on the internet and causing all kinds of fanaticism and, end day, kind of madness, because the Jewish folks believe that the words of the prophets are in the Old Testament or the Jewish scriptures. The Muslims believe that prophethood ended with Muhammad. And so if we understand that from the Sufi mystic perspective, in those Islamic roots, you know, he was the last prophet who wrote a book given from God. And that was it. You know, there's no more. We're not going to fall for a lot of this stuff. We're going to save ourselves a lot of headache. We're going to save ourselves a lot of stress. We're going to save ourselves a lot of disappointment, because a lot of people get disappointed following these people who are self-proclaimed prophets. But, you know, now that doesn't mean that we can't get inspiration from God. In the Sufi practice, and I want to read you something here from the Quran, and this is from Surah 42, or chapter 42, if you will, and verse 51, and it reads, "It is not possible for a human being to have God communicate with them, except through inspiration or from behind a veil, or by sending a messenger angel to reveal whatever he wills by his permission. He is surely most high, all wise." So God does speak to us today, but he speaks to us first through inspiration. And that inspiration can come through meditation, through reading the scriptures, whether it be the Quran, whether it be the Bible, Old and New Testament. All of these books are held to be holy and sacred, and sacred scripture in Islam and in Sufism. You know, these two books, they are called God's books, Old Testament, New Testament, Quran. So inspiration can come through reading scripture. Inspiration can come through things like dreams, intuitions, or there may be the appearance of an angel, or just an inspiration that is an angel whispering in our ear, and we catch that inspiration through angelic influence. Or it says God may speak to us through a veil, and that could be something like the burning bush in Moses' time, maybe a disembodied voice, but mostly it's going to be through inspiration and intuition. And that's the importance of things like when we talked about practicing zikr, the remembrance of God through meditation on the most beautiful or holy names. When we talk about maraqaba meditation, you know, calming the body, calming the mind, going within, and just sitting in the silence and waiting and listening for the presence of God. You know, inspiration many times comes through those avenues. But we're not so much going to get, now here's the rub, we're not going to be getting apocalyptic revelations. We're not going to be shown grand visions of, you know, blackouts and raptures and the military, you know, going down the street, rounding up all the Christians and taking them to the guillotine and this type of thing. That's just not going to happen. Only God knows. Remember, these books tell us only God knows the time of the end. It is hidden with him, and we're not to know. Only the Father knows, the Bible says. Not even the Son knows when the end comes. Not even Jesus knew when the end will come. Only God. However, we may receive an inspiration that perhaps we should prepare ourselves because something is going to happen. Something doesn't feel right in the atmosphere of the world. And again, we get that inspiration through meditation, zikr, muraqabah, prayer, reading the scriptures, or sometimes it just comes to us, you know, just out of the blue. We may get that feeling something isn't right. And maybe we need to prepare ourselves or be on the lookout for something or be a little careful with the way, you know, society is going. And I remember right before COVID, a couple of years before COVID, a lot of people were saying that they felt like something ominous was over the horizon. They didn't know what, but they said, I feel like something bad is going to happen. It's going to just change the way we live our lives. Something is coming. I had that feeling. Something doesn't feel right in the atmosphere. That is God giving us an inspiration, a spiritual inspiration, a spiritual intuition. Something isn't right. I better, you know, knuckle down and be more serious about my spiritual practices, my meditation, my prayers, my reading and meditating on the scriptures. So we can have that feeling, that knowing something isn't quite right. And sometimes, you know, it's maybe a bit rare, but sometimes we might have those dreams. We might have those little fleeting inner visions that come to pass. You know, that God is giving us that for a reason. But it's not something we can just stand up on the stage of life and say, I'm standing in the office of the prophet, you know, do the talking in tongues things, you know, the Lord saith, and then go on a whole, you know, litany of what's about to happen, and it never does. This kind of thing always fails. We can't make God give us an inspiration. We can't make God give us an intuition. We can't make God send an angel to us to give us a message or to whisper an inspiration into our ears. You know, those things are all dependent completely on God. Our business is to draw close to God, to know God in our hearts, to feel his presence in us and around us, and to know these books, to know what they say, to practice what they say, to be on the lookout for what they tell us is coming. Because through knowing these prophecies, through knowing what is written in God's books, in God's scriptures, we can, as Jesus said, know the signs of the times. But we can't know exactly when that last hour is upon us. That is for God alone to know. And I remember it just came to me, if I may interject, Harold Camping was the individual who back in 2011 or 12 said the world was going to end. Harold Camping. And I remember the internet was ablaze. I wasn't so much of a YouTuber back then, but I remember the internet being ablaze with, you know, the Harold Camping, and who the heck is this guy? And I remember, you know, writing a few comments on some posts and saying, you know, I take all this with a grain of salt, and well, come back here in April or May, you know, after the rapture, and you're left behind, and you know, you'll see. And you know, again, it never happened. But you know, we have to be awfully careful with this kind of thing between the false prophets, the antichrists, you know, the anti-prophets coming in the name of a different Christ, not the biblical Christ, not the Messiah Christ, you know, coming in the name of a false Christ with a false gospel, and you know, a lot of this prosperity gospel and all and the like. You know, that is definitely a false gospel. It is not the gospel that Jesus preached. It is not the gospel that Jesus brought to us from God. So we have to be very, very careful with this sort of thing. And so again, how do we safeguard ourselves against, you know, a lot of this false prophecy? It's prayer. It's meditation. It's practicing zikr, maraqabah, reading the scriptures, meditating the scriptures, making sure we connect with God in prayer. You know, one of the mystical ways to contemplate God is by, which is told to us in the Quran as well, is contemplating nature. Look at the creation, contemplate the creation, and you'll begin to know the Creator through his creation. You know, we begin to know God here, the presence of God within us, the presence of God around us. You know, and when we truly know God, I mean, no human being is going to know God completely, but we could become familiar with that presence. We become familiar with how, to borrow a Christian term, how the Spirit of God feels around us and within us. That when we see this kind of fanaticism taking off, we know it has a different feeling. Again, think of the words of Jesus when he said, "My sheep know my voice, and another voice they will not follow." So when you really know the voice of God, when you really know the presence of God, when you know him in your heart, through practicing maraqabah, through practicing zikr, and all those things, when you see all this other stuff going on, you're going to know that it feels different. You're going to use the terminology that myself and many other mystics often use, and they'll say, that's not God. That's not how he is. I don't feel God in that. Something's not right. And you stay away from it because you know the voice and the presence and the feeling of your Lord and Master. You know, you're not going to follow all this other stuff. And of course, it's important to educate ourselves through reading the scriptures. And it's also important to think about that. If prophethood ended, if there was the minor prophets before Abraham, then Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Elijah and all those other prophets, and then up to Jesus, who is the Messiah, then there is, you know, Muhammad, and it ended there. We're not even going to pay attention to those things. We have the message. We have the messages. It tells us everything we need to know. They tell us what to expect when the end is approaching. They tell us what to expect when the end comes. They tell us that we're not going to know the day and the hour. So when we have people, and I'm sure that the internet is going to be full of new prophecies because there's a total eclipse, I believe it is, coming April 8th here in the United States. So we're going to be, you know, full of prophecies of doom and rapture and the end. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of televangelists and people having dreams. Don't buy into it. Don't let yourself get pulled into that. You know, don't let yourself be fooled by people who think they know something that you don't, when in fact only God knows. Only God knows when the end will come. So when you understand that, when you understand that kind of prophethood has been sealed, it's done, you're not even going to pay attention, you know, to these many voices that keep, you know, saying, you know, the end is coming, the end is coming. You know, eventually one day it will come and they'll say, well, see, we were right. We prophesied this, you know, 150,000 years ago, you know. So if you say something every day and you're wrong, hey, one day you're going to be right. It may even be when you're no longer on this earth. But, you know, one day, you know, you'll be right. The end will come. But, you know, it's not for us to try to sit around and predict the end of time. It's for us, and this is where a lot of Christianity goes wrong, especially in the evangelical circles. They're so busy trying to predict when the end will come that they're not preparing their souls for that final hour, when every soul will be judged, every soul will give an account for what it has done in this lifetime. And what have many of these, you know, evangelicals done? They've taken money from people that can't afford, you know, to give, you know, to churches and mega churches, and they keep telling them, oh, give, God wants you to give. They've changed the Bible. They've changed the message. I've seen these people, you know, change Christian history and lie about things just to, you know, fool people into thinking their flavor of the gospel was right. So is this what we're doing while we're looking for the end? Or maybe they don't believe at all. Maybe most of them, I believe, are charlatans. And, you know, they're just trying to make a buck. So they want all the money. They want to sell the books. They want to sell the videos. They want the followers. They want the people that will give into their so-called ministries. You know, they're not preparing. And these are the people, according to the Bible and the Quran, there will be, you know, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, the people that will regret what they did, the people who will say, if I only had one more chance. But that day is coming. But instead of trying to predict it all the time, do as the Sufis do and prepare yourself for it. try to be spiritually pure, try to be a good person, try to connect with God in your life now and live a life that is, you know, in submission to Him. What does submission mean? You know, Islam actually means peaceful submission to God, or one who is a peacemaker. You know, it's not, you know, there's too much of this slave of God mentality, in a sense, you know, where, you know, we're all servants, we're all just human beings, we're not gods, you know, in a sense that might be true. But when we peacefully surrender to God, we become peacemakers on the earth. And that's, you know, when we talk about Islam, that's what it's all about. And that's something I'll be talking about more with my guest, hopefully, that will be coming in a couple of weeks. But, you know, prepare for the end. Stop trying to predict it. Stop watching the people that are telling you it's coming over and over and over again. And if you'll notice these kinds of people who are always trying to predict the end, they're not preparing themselves for that moment if it comes, and they're very arrogant, they're very very testy, they're very quick and eager to jump on you and condemn you and curse you and tell you you're going to hell if you don't agree with what they're saying or follow their religious or spiritual precepts. You know, this is not the attitude nor the demeanor of a true prophet. The Quran actually tells us that all of the prophets were very righteous people, good people, people that they were not violent, they were not, you know, hateful, they were not given to, you know, tempers and insults and behavior and words that were beneath them. They were very mild-tempered people. They were righteous people. They were good people. And so if you see these people claiming to be prophets and they're screaming and yelling and saying you need to give money to be saved, you know, or arguing with you online, you know, you're this kind of Christian and not that kind of Christian, or you believe that and not that, you're going to hell. You better, crazy religious things like the mark of the beast is in certain vaccines. Now, you know, I'm not a fan of, you know, some of the, as they say here on YouTube, the stuff they inject us with. But do I think the mark of the beast is in those things and it's turning us into Nephilim for the last days? Not at all. This is all just craziness. It's false prophecy. And these people aren't even behaving as messengers of God who are bringing the message of these books to a world who is going astray, a world who is spreading too much corruption across the earth with greed and violence and war and hatred and division and religious persecution. You know, these are the message. Not our silly dreams. Not our harabadeshiragarabaradara, you know, the Lord saith. That's not the message. That's all stuff coming from our own mental, you know, our own imagination. Someone trying to deceive us, or, you know, we might have a little bit of a mental cog loose, but it's not true, true prophecy. So, again, you know, understand these things. And if you're going to practice Sufi mysticism, know God by those things previously mentioned. Practicing zikr, muraqabah, prayer, reading the scriptures, contemplating the scriptures. Know the presence of God in your own heart. Know what these books say about the end times. You know, particularly the words of Jesus. You know, that's the ones I always look at, not so much the other books might have some valid things, but, you know, I look straight from the horse's mouth. What did he say? What did he say about the last days? You know, that's what's most important. So know what these books say. Know what it says in the Gospels. Know what it says in the Old Testament. Know what it says in the Quran. These are the messages, and the messengers are the one who give these messages to a world that's going astray. Know that prophethood, it's over. The major prophets that have been given to us to guide us ended with Muhammad. There are going to be no more. There's not going to be another like Moses. There's not going to be another like Jesus. There's not going to be another like Elijah. There's not going to be another like Muhammad. The only one who is coming in Christianity and in Islam who is going to mimic those things will be the Dajjal, or the Antichrist, in the end times. And we certainly don't want to be a part of his group, right? That's bad news. So know these things, think about these things, practice your mystical practices and exercises, and you're going to eliminate a lot of doubt, a lot of fear, and just a lot of worry in your life when you see a lot of this religious noise of people claiming that the end is coming, the rapture is coming, the end is near, the end is coming next month or this month or that month. All that will just fall away as like water off a duck's back, as they say. When you're really grounded in your faith and you really know yourself and you know God, at least the best of your ability through these practices, you understand these things are just static in the background. They don't mean anything. They're not going to upset you. They're not going to scare you. They're not going to get you like a lot of people wringing their hands going, well, I don't usually believe in that sort of thing, but what if they're right? Look at the way the world's going. And, there's a total eclipse of the sun coming next month. And, politics is in shambles and people are so terrible. Maybe they are right. Maybe I should send them money. Maybe I should follow, John Smith on YouTube or Kenneth Copeland, on television, because maybe they are right. They're playing on our fear. That's what they want to do, to get us to cave in and follow what they're doing. But if you're grounded in your faith, grounded in your practice, grounded in your knowledge of God, you're not going to have that fear. You're not going to second guess yourself. You're going to be sure of what it is that you know, sure of what it is that you've attained in your mystical practice. And that's why you don't see, when a lot of these things happen, you don't see a lot of Jewish people going, oh my God, Kenneth Copeland said, or Pat Robertson said, or that preacher said, or that person on YouTube said. You don't see a lot of Jewish people getting all worked up over that stuff. They don't get worked up at all. You don't see a lot of Muslims getting worked up over that sort of stuff, going, oh my God, the end is coming, the Antichrist is coming, Jesus is coming back because this person said so and they sound so convincing. You don't see them worrying about that sort of thing because they know. They're stable in their faith. You don't see a lot of Sufis, you don't see any Sufis getting worried about this sort of thing because it's the same thing. They know what they know. They're grounded in their faith. They know, they feel the presence of God in their hearts. They feel the presence of God in their lives. They know their religion, their background, their history. They know that the seal of the prophets is, it's been sealed. It's no more. So they're not even paying this stuff any mind, because they know no human being knows the time of the end. Only God knows that. So I hope this video has been helpful. I went a little bit over time, but I feel this was an important subject. And of course, sprinkling in these mystical practices and how we practice and how these mystical practices aid us in times of fear and calamity, and when there's so many voices saying, the end is near, the end is near, follow me, listen to me, do what I'm telling you to do. I mean, I know, sadly, people on the internet who are ready to take off to the mountains and, you know, wherever, you know, at the snap of a finger of their leader on the internet, I'll tell you when to go and flee to this place, you know, and they're ready to go. And it's going to be a disaster, you know, when the leader snaps the fingers. It's, you know, these are all false prophets. They're not messengers of God. So save yourself a lot of pain, save yourself a lot of worry, a lot of stress, a lot of disappointment, and just tune that sort of thing out. And these practices will help you do that. You know, that's what, for me, Sufi mysticism, it's one of the things that's a main anchor for me. You know, as I said in the first episode of Mystic Radio, I needed to get back to a faith that made sense. I needed to get back to a faith that was grounded. I needed to get back to a faith that was logical. There's so many voices, so many opinions. There's the gospel in the Bible. There's the Aquarian gospels. There's the lost years of Jesus, the lost teachings of Jesus. You know, the Urantia book with the lost, teachings of Jesus. You know, all these different things, nobody knows which direction to turn in. All these people, you know, channeling and predicting and prophets and, you know, it gets very confusing. And so this practice of Sufi mysticism is grounding. It grounds you, so when you see all this wind going by, you're not following the people that are blown by the wind. So these practices that we previously talked about, the maraqabah, the zikr, all of that, it'll change your life. It'll change your relationship with God. It will deepen it. And you will be following after these voices like the Pied Piper that many just want to follow. And, you know, it's sad because a lot of people are just looking for someone to follow. They're looking for a leader. You know, they're looking for God out there. And that's a big problem with religion. Many religions teach us God is out there somewhere. You know, Sufi mysticism says God is in here. He's inside of us. He's in our heart. He's all around us. We don't need to have binoculars, you know, looking out at the world going, where is he? What movement is going to show me God? Is that him over there with Kenneth Copeland? Is that him over there with Paula White? Is that him, you know, being shown to me on that YouTube channel? No. He's not in any of that. He's all around you. He's within you. He's in your heart waiting for you to approach him in the sacred silence. And when you meet him there, your life will change. So I thank you for listening. I appreciate you listening to me ramble for about 45 minutes now. Like I said, I went over. I hope it wasn't too bad, too much of a ramble. This was, you know, kind of a subject that's close to my heart. But we're going to start, you're going to be taking a look at some various spiritual phenomena that's going on in the world right now. And, you know, how to respond to it through that lens of Sufi mysticism. Be grounded so we're not taken in, you know, by these many voices calling to us. So I hope this show was helpful this week. I appreciate your listening if you stuck it out. Thank you again for listening. God bless. And I will see you again next week.